It is a sad day that May Day 2020, the majority of the world's workers will remain confined to their homes instead of participating in the traditional parades and strikes. In addition to the economic crises of capitalism, there is a pandemic, yet another one after avian flu, SARS, and the Ebola viruses. Along comes COVID-19, which belongs to the family of coronaviruses, RNA, and envelope viruses. This calamity will be added to the long list of disasters caused by the accumulation of capital, a process which pushes millions and millions of human beings into precariousness and misery. Along with, capitalism also devastates the planet and, in particular, destroys the habitats of wild animals, which brings us into contact with new deadly viruses. The COVID-19 epidemic, by forcing a majority of workers to stay at home, has aggravated an already existing economic crisis. Even bourgeois economists agree the pandemic only reinforces an already existing economic trend. The great economic crisis of 08-09 and the second recession of 2012-14 together resulted in the worst economic crisis since World War II. After drops in industrial production ranging from -14% to -30%, there was a small economic recovery which peaked in mid-2017, then slowed down sharply throughout the following year, and then became downright negative in 2019. Among the large industrialized countries, only the young Asian capitalist nations of China and South Korea have exceeded pre-2008 industrial production. In Europe, only Germany and Belgium exceeded 2007 production levels, but in 2019, German industrial production fell by 4.6%. Germany, which exports almost 40% of its gross domestic product in manufactured goods, is particularly sensitive to international trade and therefore to the recessions of world capitalism. The United States is presented as having surpassed the 08-09 crisis with the 2019 Industrial Production Index of 4.8% higher than in 2007. However, if we examine this data a little more, we see that a major weight has been given to the production of shale gas and oil in the index calculation, while manufacturing production is still 3.9% lower than it reached in 2007, and for construction we are at -47% compared to the height in 2004. To this summary, accounting of world industrial production is a catastrophic financial situation. States, industrial and commercial enterprises, as well as families can be found crumbling under a mountain of debts. According to the Institute of International Finance, current debts are more than 3 times world GDP. Private sector debt remains 2/3 of global debt. As for the nations, the United States, Japan, and China together account for more than half of the total debt. How did we get here? The capitalist mode of production replaced the scattered and fragmented production of the small peasant and the craftsman with the industrial production of big business based on the collective and centralized work of salaried workers, who have neither the ownership of the means of production nor that of the product, a production which requires a whole social organization and the latest technical and scientific knowledge. In doing so, capitalism has developed the economic basis of a future communist mode of production on a wide scale. This is its great historic role and its great merit, even if it was done in a vile and atrocious way, but nevertheless capitalism accomplished it. We must not forget that violence, oppression, and atrocities are all part of class societies. From this point of view, capitalism has invented nothing except that it has pushed these atrocities to a larger scale, especially during the imperialist era. But in capitalism, appropriation remains private, which contradicts this social economic base. The aim of production is not the satisfaction of human needs, but the accumulation of capital. However, the more the productivity of labor increases, thanks to technical and scientific progress, the more the rate of profit falls, which is inevitable and comes into contradiction with the accumulation of capital. And since the appropriation remains private, management is mercantile, and each company is autonomous and must have a positive monetary balance, hence competition and the trade war. As production remains marketable, the accumulation of capital presents itself as an immense accumulation of goods, the value of which must be realized, hence the regular overcrowding of markets and the repetition of crises in overproduction. There cannot be a balance between supply and demand. On the contrary, there is constant chaos, which ultimately, from cycle to cycle, leads to a general crisis. This economic system no longer has any reason for historic existence. Capital has become a purely parasitic organism, which survives in the interests of a privileged minority, the big industrial, financial, and landholding bourgeoisies. These are classes of parasites and useless people who live, thanks to money, on the backs of workers, and they no longer have any useful function. There is only one thing left to do. Execute the historic sentence by expropriating them, and by abolishing the capitalist relations of wage and capital production, and by passing to a communist management of production and distribution. That is to say, moving on to a social management, no longer mercantile and merchant, but based on physical accounting and social management, a centralized method of production. Today we know on the one hand what are our resources and the means of production, and how many workers are needed and able to work. And on the other hand, we know what our collective and individual needs are. But by closing all socially useless sectors, that is to say everything related to money management, banks, financial institutes, stock exchanges, and social security, we can reduce the time of work required to 4 hours a day, while largely meeting our collective needs, maintenance of communications networks, schools, hospitals, construction of housing for the entire population, etc., as well as our individual needs, and much better than under capitalism and without destroying nature. The achievement of this goal requires the overthrow of the big bourgeoisie and the dissolution of its state, which is unusable by the workers. But to achieve this goal, the workers' vanguard must organize themselves into real class unions, which requires leaving the reformist unions, which are radical in words, but in reality do everything to sabotage the struggles and prevent any real centralization. The capitalist regime's loyal unions, in fact, prevent any real centralization of struggles and blocks their extension, thus leading the proletariat towards defeat and demoralization. The trade union struggle is the first school of class struggle, hence its importance. But to reach the final goal, the transition to communist society, it is not enough. For this, the workers' vanguard must join us to form a large international communist party, which alone will be able to guide the proletariat toward the overthrow of the bourgeoisie and the dictatorship of the proletariat. In 08-09, following the energetic intervention of central banks and states, world capitalism narrowly avoided a crisis like that of 1929, but at the cost of a giant indebtedness of the capitalist states. Today's mode of production is kept in a state of survival with interest rates close to zero, even negative, and still, companies and states are collapsing in debts. Faced with the current crisis, the scale of which promises to be gigantic, we are putting back several layers. Central banks are buying government and corporate bonds for hundreds of billions, and debt is soaring. Recently, the Italian state, already in debt up to 134% of its GDP, could see its debt increase toward the end of the year to 170-80% of its GDP. France would see the state's debt go from 100% to 130-50%, never before. Meanwhile, investors are starting to flee Europe. With the bankruptcies that lie ahead, the debts will explode and inevitably the interest rates will rise, because European central bank alone cannot meet demand. Sooner or later, big systemic banks like Deutsche Bank will go bankrupt, as well as the big state banks like the Italian one. The crisis during the futural and ephemeral recovery will push the various imperialist monsters to a general confrontation, with a view to reportation of the world according to the new balance of power which has developed over the last 30 years, which has seen to emerge a new imperialist with teeth just as long as the previous ones, China, which is actively preparing to take over by taking the place of the United States, just like the latter did with England. The perspective that is looming in the next 10 to 15 years is for World War III, with all its atrocities and terrifying destruction, which the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East give us a hint of what they will be like, or international communist revolution. Either humanity finally leaves its prehistoric times by moving on to communism, or it will experience a new setback and will again undergo a century of frenzied accumulation of capital with all its procession of horrors and destruction.